Off with Steve Hothersall on Radio City Talk.
The man in front of me has probably never been on a cruise. Neil Atkinson, you're far too young for that, aren't you?
Never cruised.
We're going to talk the size of Virgil van Dijk's transfer fee to Liverpool. Is it or isn't it going to happen?
I still think there's a lot that can go wrong. And to sort of put that in context, I spent a little bit of time last night cruising my way around Southampton supporter groups and forums. And Southampton's board have found themselves in a really, really strange position. And the position that they're in is that Liverpool are prepared to pay $60 million for their centre-back, which is a lot of money, and arguably he's worth more to Liverpool than he is to Southampton at this stage of proceedings, because he's the player who can kick Liverpool on from last season. Hopefully he's fourth place towards coming in the top two, three, and help guarantee a top four finish. Whereas for Southampton, last season with Virgil van Dijk, they finished eighth.
Lower than they had the previous season.
Yeah. He'd been there then as well, but he's not... What I mean is that the Southampton aren't going to go down, so but they're also not going to come in the top six. Southampton, I'd be surprised if they finished ahead of Everton. So, you know, we're looking at a side here, they're unlikely to finish in the top seven. So retaining the player, the asset, to use that sort of language, isn't really worth the money, if you know what I mean. They're better off to have the money and to do what they've done anyway. The business model has been...
So just eke out of Liverpool as much as they can.
So eke out of Liverpool as much as you can. However, on the other hand, the supporters of Southampton, the stakeholders, are absolutely livid with the idea of selling to Liverpool because they've sold so many players to Liverpool in the past, because of the way this one's gone, because of the way other ones have gone, that they would much prefer to see the player go somewhere else. As an example, Chelsea. But Chelsea may not be that interested. And also, there's another financial thing here, and I say this in the context of that Southampton's board, I think, are acting in the way their supporters would want them to act currently. And so this isn't me making a financial point that X is more important than Y. Quite the opposite. I think that you're seeing that Southampton's board are doing everything they can to keep Southampton supporters happy with the current behaviour. So just to make this clear, the most expensive season ticket I could find online that wasn't corporate at Southampton is £759. They've got tiered pricing, but the most expensive ticket is £759. Allowing for 20,000 season ticket holders at St Mary's, that comes to £15 million a year. Liverpool are offering four times that. So from a Southampton's board point of view, Liverpool are their best customer. They've given them over the last however many years... Yeah. And they're offering £80 million, and they're offering to give them a further £60 million right now for one of their products, if you know what I mean. And with that money, they could go out and they could buy another series of footballers who they can sharpen up as products.
And what do they pay Celtic for?
And they pay Celtic £412 million. Yeah. So they're in a position where they can make that huge profit on them. That money they can reinvest in further players to keep performing this thing that they do. And they do it. They've also sold Wanyama and Alderweireld to Spurs. And Pochettino went from Southampton to Spurs as well as a manager. So that's what they're doing. And they are going to do that. But they're in a situation where the people who pay through the gate, and as I say, whose payments through the gate are a quarter of what this fee would be, that they find themselves... knowing that if they sell to Liverpool, they will hugely antagonise these people. Whose 50 millions, by the way, they rely on year in, year out to coming through the door.
Yeah, but the business model would state if Liverpool bid more than Chelsea or Manchester City, for example, then the board are going to recommend that sale goes through.
Well, they should, but they might not do. Because
be cutting off their nose to spite the face, wouldn't they?
But they're not, because they're trying to keep the 20,000 people who are paying the 50 million a year happy. That's the thing. That's the tension here. That those people are a significant number of them.
Are you seriously telling me that some of those Southampton season ticket holders would not renew if they sold Virgil
it's
van
quite
Dijk
possible.
To Liverpool?
The language that they're using at the moment
Football fans are fickle, Neil.
They are fickle. And as I say, you change your mind over a long period of time and all that sort of stuff. But what they need to do is they need to go through... It either means one or two things. They either need to find a way to make Chelsea pay the same money that Liverpool would pay. And I think Chelsea may well pay the same money that Liverpool will pay. But then the players say, well, I'm not going to go to Chelsea, I want to go to Liverpool. And that throws open another series of questions. That's the first problem that they've got. But the second thing that needs to happen as well is that they need to go through the dance. So they need to go through the dance off.
Sounds like a deadline day move, this.
Yeah, it does. And they need to go through there. We've done everything we can. We tried to get them to go to... Firstly, we didn't want to sell them. That was clear, wasn't it, everybody? That was clear, we didn't want to sell him. Secondly, we didn't want him to go to Liverpool. Thirdly, we made him train on his own. We sorted it, blah, blah, blah. We went through all of these things, but they need to be able to throw their hands up.
Then he handed in the transfer request.
They need to be able to throw their hands up and go, well, this is what's happened. However, all the way through this, there's every chance that Van Dijk and his agent, especially his agent, might at some point turn around and say, you know what, let's just go to Chelsea, Virgil. Let's just go to Chelsea, which we can get boxed off. We know we can sort. Let's just go to Chelsea. Southampton get the same amount of money. We get paid as much. They'll pay us as much as Liverpool has paid us. Let's just do that.
I think the agent would be more influential than Mr. Van Dijk himself there.
But quite possibly. And so this, the idea that this now, I think, is straightforward for Liverpool, I just don't think is the case because there's all these other factors in play which are complicated and which will, I think, make it difficult for Liverpool just to do what they want to do, just to do the business. So I think it's going to be pretty tricky for the club to get the other side of this with the player. I still think they will, and I'll still be hugely disappointed if they don't, given the way in which the whole summer's gone. I think he should be, you know, he should be ending up as a Liverpool player here. I think Liverpool need him to end up as a Liverpool player. The manager's walking around saying there's not five centre-halves he can buy that improve his options. Whether he's right in that or not doesn't really matter as far as I'm concerned. It's, if that's the view that he's taken, then that's the view that he's taken. And in real terms, it's an easy way. The main I've said it all the way through the summer. The main thing that actually signing Virgil van Dijk would do for Liverpool is that it would mean that that Lovren or Matip would, over the course of the season, become Liverpool's third-choice centre-half. Mm. And why that's important is not because either of them are bad players, quite the opposite. It's that they're well better than Lovren. Sorry, than Ragnar Klavan. Mm. They're well better than Klavan. And so suddenly Liverpool's third-choice centre-back is of that quality. Spurs is Eric Dier, as an example. Chelsea play three at the back anyway, but now in Bayern Rudiger, they've got themselves four. United last season played first choice was Rocco and Bailly, but they've also bought Lindelof now as well, which suggests that they might be, you know, that again, one of those three becomes the third choice at the club. And on we go. So you end up in a situation where you've got that much. Manchester City's third choice, their best centre half is probably John Stones, who they paid £50 million for. So you end up in a situation where you can either play three at the back, or you can say, you know, we've got our first choice too, but if they get an injury, if we're worried about the fitness of one of them or the form of one of them, this is the quality that we draft in. Whereas at the minute, Liverpool, the answer is Klavan. And he's, you know, he's clearly a good member of the group, to use the football language that's in vogue. He's clearly, you know, he's clearly positionally sound. He's clearly a pretty solid lad. He's captain of Estonia. He's, you know, he's in his early 30s. He's almost certainly ridiculously level-headed and pleased to be at Liverpool. And he's positionally strong, but he just lacks some X factor that you need to play centre-back at the level that Liverpool are at. He's not a bad player. He deserves to be. You know, he's obviously good enough to be at the top six sides, that side that can play a part in a side that can get 76 points because he did last season, but he's not an absolute top draw footballer.
Sounds like one for the League Cup.
League Cup and the idea that he might have to come in here and there or come off the bench with, you know, with 15 to go if you want to shore it up and they're throwing big balls into the box. You want someone else to come on and head it clear. Absolutely fine. And also you'll get games because Matip and Lovren are both mildly injury prone.
Yeah. So it will happen over the course of what could be a very long season. I say could be because when I saw you last week, the draw hadn't been made for the Champions League. It's Hoffenheim. It's a tricky one. I don't suppose it was the easiest that Liverpool could have got out of that particular group that they were paired with. But they've got to overcome them. How will Klopp approach this one against a side they'll probably know very well?
I think that Liverpool go there, and it'll be a very similar side to the one that lands up against Watford. So he said he's going to pick what he sees as his strongest side available to him against Watford, and I think you'll see the same thing at Hoffenheim.
It's only a few days later, isn't it?
Exactly, so I think he'll just go the same. I think he goes very similar. I think you'll probably see one of Wijnaldum and Chan against Watford, and you'll see the other one against Hoffenheim. You might see one change in attack. You might do one thing in attack between the two games, and it wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't ask. If he starts Alexander-Arnold against Watford, he might start Gomez against Hoffenheim in Klein's absence. Yeah. If he starts Gomez against Watford, he might start Alexander-Arnold against Hoffenheim. But apart from that, I'd be very, very surprised if he's making any more than three changes from whatever his side ends up being against Watford. I think his side against Watford will be Mignolet in goal, Milner left back. And then I think he may just go with Alexander-Arnold at right back. But I'd make Gomez and make sense given how big a side Watford are. Lovren and Matip. I keep desperate to get the names wrong of our centre backs. And then it'll be Henderson, Wijnaldum or Chan, one or the other, and then Coutinho, and the front four will be Firmino, Salah, and Mane. And I think
big loss, Lallana.
huge for the side this season, for the opening starts of the season. But it throws into focus the fact that Liverpool need to be looking at buying another midfielder. And that was the case anyway, because at any point, you know, you go right the way through them. Chan has picked up injuries on and off through his Liverpool career. Not bad injuries, but, you know, he's missed 3 weeks here and there. Mm. Lallana himself's had injuries. Coutinho's had injuries. Henderson's had injuries. The only one of that midfield you're able to look at and think is, in his time at Liverpool, being relatively injury-free is Wijnaldum. The rest of them have all found themselves picking up knocks here and there. So Liverpool were anyway looking at starting the season, I think, a midfielder light. And I think that they still should be in the market for another one. I'm not eager to see James Milner move back there. I think he made the left-back position his own last season. But also I think that Liverpool should be looking for a centre midfielder. The entire game's been sort of built around having pace through the middle of the park. And I think that they should be looking for another midfielder who offers them that pace and that ability to carry the ball. And I think that was the theory of Naby Keita. And then I think the other thing that's been interesting from pre-season is it looks as though he's prepared to play Wijnaldum as the deepest of his centre midfielders in Henderson's absence, rather than Emre Can. That Can may well play ahead of Henderson or Wijnaldum. And I think he wants there to be a bit of flexibility there, but it wouldn't surprise me if that's something that you continue to see across the course of the season.
And are you still fearing the loss of Coutinho? Is that not something that's occupying your thoughts at the moment?
It's not occupying my thoughts, but I think there's still every chance that it happens, that somehow Barcelona find a way to force the issue. I think Liverpool, for the fact that they've had a fair bit of criticism on transfer dealings over the last sort of 12 months, people think they should have done something last January. Maybe they started last season one player light. At the minute, they still look a couple of players light. They're not alone in that, by the way. I think that there's still much of the Premier League still looks light. You could see how light Chelsea's squad from the back of that was, from the back of that programme, it was picked up on. I think that Spurs haven't improved. They haven't bought anyone. You can argue that they look light, but you can go right the way through and you go down the divisions. I spoke to a West Brom supporter, a Newcastle supporter and a Stoke supporter yesterday, and they all think they need to buy 4 or 5. Four or five is what they're saying. I think almost everybody feels that they're light. But yeah, I think that, you know, on the side of it for Liverpool, then I think that they do need to go back into the market and they do need to have a little look at things and they do need to find a way to add, I'd say Van Dijk and then another two to the squad would be ideal.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.